But our lyrebirds are beloved of Len Fisher, who's been watching them in the Blue Mountains west of Sydney. Len.
As I sit writing this talk in my Blue Mountains home, I'm surrounded by the sounds of the bush. Kookaburras are laughing, parrots are screeching, and currawongs are adding a melodious background. The melody is disrupted by the sounds of nearby chainsaws and distant car alarms, also by the sound of me trying to start the car when its battery was almost flat. Which is odd, because I'm in my study, while the car is in the carport, and anyway, that was weeks ago. The explanation is simple. A male lyrebird has taken up residence outside my study window, and all of these sounds are coming from its flexible, adaptable throat. Flexibility and adaptability are important to the lyrebird. They are becoming ever more important for us, not in our song making, but in our decision making, because we need to be ever quicker on our feet to deal with extreme events that used to be rare, but which are becoming ever more common. Mathematicians call these events outliers. Massive floods and extraordinarily fierce bushfires like the one that passed our house in 2019 are just two examples. Their frequency is described by a bell curve. This is a curve that describes the distribution of probabilities for some event or situation. The curve is shaped like the profile of a church bell. Events with higher probabilities cluster in the middle, while the rare occurrences are out at the edges. For many ordinary situations, we can visualize the bell as though it is resting on the ground. This means that the gap between bell and ground is very small near the edges. Events in this region are thus very rare, such as the so-called once-in-a-hundred-years events or situations, as extreme floods or bushfires used to be. Interconnectedness, like the impact of climate change on available habitats to wildlife, changes the picture. Its effect is equivalent to lifting the bell off the ground. The gap between the edges becomes disproportionately bigger, and outliers in all areas of life become more frequent and more significant. Some, such as extreme weather events, are already occurring or recurring over timescales that are similar to the timescale of current governments. So what can we do about it? Some politicians, like King Canute, are trying to hold back the tide, relying on traditional political, social, or economic dogmas to control the situation. I've been working with colleagues at Oxford University's Future of Humanity Institute to see if there might be a better way. We've made a start by analysing the necessary conditions for successful governance when the bell curve is lifted off the ground, and we've identified five key issues. The first is recognition that the traditional political and social goals of certainty and control are not generally achievable within any current political system. There's a need for flexible, rapid decision-making processes, which again, we don't have. Ability to monitor ongoing changes and to act on this information is also important. And cooperation and coordination at individual, group, and international levels. Finally, we need investment, not just in measures to stave off undesirable change, including moving whole towns, but in community resilience and preparedness before the event. Now, these are minimum requirements for effective governance. They are not negotiable. They are inevitable. My colleagues and I have made a careful study of current political governance systems of all persuasions, left, right, and centre, and over many countries, and we have found that none of them fulfil these necessary conditions. That's right, none. This is because almost all present political systems are based on dogmas of certainty, predictability, and control, whether by fiat from above or by the so-called invisible hand of free interactions and the free market from below. They may have worked in the past. Capitalism in particular has a strong record of success when it comes to overall prosperity, but they can't work now. Not won't, can't. But there's a ray of hope. Strong arguments are being advanced in some quarters for the role of adaptive governments. The name is self-explanatory. It is a system of governance that does not attempt to control and direct change, although these are still sometimes desirable objectives. But it recognises that change may not be predictable, and it adds to the mix preparedness, flexibility, resilience, and rapid responsiveness to circumstance. Above all, it adds understanding of how the real world now functions. Adaptive governance as a principle fulfills our five conditions. How it may best be realised in practice is still a subject of active discussion, much of which has yet to reach the public arena. But reach that arena it will. Almost all of our present political systems emerged through this route, where the ideas of philosophers and social thinkers became the basis for social and political change. That's history. We can only hope that the scientific insights of the present will have a similar outcome for our future and lead to a fresh approach to political decision-making, one that is based on the realities of our newly interconnected world rather than wishful thinking and dreams of the past. It has to happen soon, or there may be no lyrebirds left nor anything for them to imitate. And yes, it is that serious.
Dr. Len Fisher, whose article is now out in the journal Global Policy, and he says they've used £2,000 of Oxford University's money to make the ideas freely available to all, before, he says, before it's too late.